Hello, and welcome to the Trade Paperbacks. Today we got the dog and a sleepover going on, so it's gonna be a winner.
It'll be awesome.
This will be.
We can manage it.
This is one of my favorite graphic novels of all time, and I'm stuck in a garage with a dog trying to record a podcast. We tell everybody Tuesday, Thursday, and like. Whatever. I don't know why we're having sleepovers in the middle of the week. All right. What do we usually do? Talk about how much you hated it, or what do we do?
No, I think we usually talk about first impressions, that sort of thing.
Okay. The Dark Knight Returns, which came out in 1986.
Yep. I was two.
Okay, good. So you didn't read it then.
I did not read it then.
But you were probably reading. You probably were an Encyclopedia Britannica kid, so.
Actually, I did read several volumes of the Encyclopedia Britannica when I was like 7.
Yeah, we guessed. So, we all guessed it.
So, first impressions, Ryan is aware that I've read very, very, very little Batman, like official Batman stuff.
Right. Well, this isn't, like, official. You know,
it's not official. It's got DC right on the...
I'm just saying, like, it's, you know, it's in the future. It's not like it's...
Right. There are multiple canons for multiple timelines and things like that. And that's fine. I understand that you do need to reinvent the same characters multiple times, but be faithful in the proper ways. So, I was kind of curious. The interesting thing is that there is, like, an introduction by Frank Miller, and I think he wrote it, like, whenever this edition...
The collection,
The paperback came out, which I guess was, like, late 90s or something like that. That's when it was dated. And so it kind of set a premise for me, like, what is he actually going for here? And that was actually kind of helpful, because I was like, oh, this will be interesting. Like, it's Batman, you know, 20 years retired, and now, like, no, actually, I need to come back, because, like, they're just letting it get out of hand again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I need to do something about this stuff. And then it just gets further and further out of hand, and then, you know, until the end, which I guess we'll talk about at some point. But, So that was a good thing to have, just a premise setting sort of thing, so I wasn't caught off guard by so many things. Because one of the things that's interesting about this is that it kind of takes an omnipotent viewpoint, almost. Like, the entire way through the book, like, you're getting, like, almost on every page, you're getting, like, three or four different viewpoints of different things that are happening. Maybe the same thing, but from three or four different people's point of view. Or you're getting, like, the news media... plus, like, three storylines going on at once. So I thought it was, like, a little chaotic, but actually pretty good and pretty well done. So
so it takes place when Batman is 55.
Yep.
He's pretty much given up on...
Yeah, he's been gone for 10 years.
Yeah, because of the death of Jason Todd. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's just done with everything at this point, you know? And
like, you guys figured it out.
We have a new gang called the Mutants.
I was like,
No, this is the 80s. It was fine. I mean, it wasn't a dig or anything.
Okay. Yeah. And it didn't seem like it was. It seemed just more like these are people who are like, it's a cultural mutation.
Yeah, it's a body. They're really into body morphing as well, these folks.
But they're not like superheroes or anything like that. They're not.
No, really only one superhero in this, and that's Superman.
Yeah.
So, the mutants are pretty much terrorizing everyone. You get those real... I love the news reports in this. I love it.
Do you? Okay.
I do. Just like the way that they're framed outside, and I really like it.
A lot of like 80s vibes with like turtlenecks and things like
that. Oh, it's great. It's great. It's like having a future dystopia... graphic novel, but everybody dresses like it's the height of the 80s.
Yeah.
I love it. I love the hair. I love the sunglasses. I don't know. It's really nice. So, anyway. So he comes back as, you know, Batman. And he stops a few things. He saves a few people.
Yeah.
You know, kind of back to
like, there are rumored reports that somebody, possibly the Batman, or the Batman, is back.
They find out that he eventually finds out that they're working with an old villain, right? With Harvey Dent, previously known as Two-Face. I remember the scene where he comes out of the surgery. Like, it's so cool to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. There's just so many things about this thing that is so cool. And And I think the 80s vibe, I don't know, it just kind of helps, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because this takes place in 1986.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Batman is 55 in 1986. So yep. We have Reagan, mm-hmm. right, as president. I mean,
it's like Cold War tensions.
Yeah, yeah. It's...
Yeah, and you have, like, if you remember, like, the craziest of the Death Wish movies, like, that whole feel is in there with regard to the mutants. That's what I was thinking of every time the mutants came up, was, like, this is basically, like, Death Wish 3, you know? And then also, like, a little bit of the feel of, like, the Police Academy movies as well. But, I don't know, it's just, like, it was a very, very, very 80s comic book.
Yeah. I mean, we literally have, you know, Superman stopping Soviet weaponry, yeah. right? He goes to, where's he go to? Corto Maltese?
Corto Maltese. And when they said that initially, I was like, oh, that's like, that's Malta. That's like,
yeah, yeah.
That's the Mediterranean.
It's weird.
And but it's not the Mediterranean. It's like, it's Corto Maltese is in the Central American areas.
Latin America, yes. Latin America is where he officially goes.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know, there's something about it, it's like fake but real at the same time when they throw in things like yeah. that, and like with Reagan and everything else.
Yeah. yeah.
Putting it in like a definite time yeah. in history, even though nothing obviously that happened.
Right.
You know what I mean? But did.
Well, but like, okay, so coming from the 80s, like this is pre-Berlin Wall falling. This is, yeah, you know, yeah. glasnost, perestroika, but like you're always on a knife's edge. And everybody's grown up under the nuclear umbrella and the threat of Holocaust, effectively. And so, like, the comic book, the whole thing kind of felt like, you know, society is fraying and the last threads are giving way. And then we're just going to have to deal with any kind of chaos that comes afterwards. So it's like everything is going on. Everything. Crime is getting out of control. The people who are ostensibly there to fight and reduce crime have their hands tied by these kind of almost Ayn Randian sort of villains, like the way Ayn Rand would write villains, if that makes sense to anyone. Like, just people who are like, they are protected from the consequences of their decisions, but they're going to be there to justify the actions of these low-life criminals who are just going to run rampage through the streets. You know, we've seen some of that lately too, but it's just like the whole thing feels like everyone who can make a bad decision to make society worse has decided to make that decision, and everything's just going to go down the tubes in every way possible, and only a handful of people are going to even try to stop it. Commissioner Gordon, Batman, and then the 13-year-old girl who becomes Robin in this. And then Superman to a little bit of an extent, but Superman's also kind of like, I don't know, like, why are you messing around so much here in Gotham? Like, you need to kind of calm it down. It's like, have you seen Gotham lately? Clark, You were in the news business once, like, so I don't know, like, I guess they turned Superman into much more of a modern journalist than before. But
without knowing it. Without knowing yeah. the future of modern journalism.
They predicted it 30 years in advance, man. So yeah, like, the whole thing is just, like, society's unraveling and coming apart, and it literally is an apocalypse by the end of the book. It kind of had that, like, the feel that the third of the Chris Nolan movies felt.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you told me, probably don't bring those up, but
no, you can bring them up. It's just, you know, you originally said the name of the title of this was The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
and I was like, no, no, it is not.
That was pre-recording. Don't go back and listen. But
what'd you think of with the book? Well, now the dog wants back in. What do you think of the leader of the mutants?
So. I couldn't tell. I was like, is this person, like, he obviously looks very freaky, but it just seems like he's kind of the embodiment of, like, the Nietzschean sort of, you know, well, if we're going to play power games, then I will be the most powerful, and I don't care about morality. I will literally just do anything I want and challenge anyone that I want, and that's what his group is doing. So I thought he was, like, fairly straightforward as a villain. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's like almost just an animalistic power domination thing. So, you know, imagine like deer, you know, tangling antlers to decide which one of them is the one that will get to mate with the females and stuff like that. So,
oh yeah, yeah, it does have that kind of vibe.
Yeah, it's really almost just like pure animal will to power. And then, like, you've got all these people on TV talking about, well, you know, they're just the product of a society that's failed them. And, like, you know, so that's one of the things I really liked about this comic book, is that it really actually kind of delves into the morality of how society operates and whether or not a vigilante should be able to do these sorts of things. You think like a Bernie Getz would be the example from the 80s, but we've had more recent examples of people kind of just taking the law into their own hands because the law's not doing it and nobody's protecting these people. And that's what Batman's there for. And the thing does not actually give you a real answer. And in fact, there's some weird stuff about Batman, about how, like, after the leader is... I don't remember if the leader gets killed in this or not. I know Batman doesn't kill him initially. But the leader gets captured, and then at some point Batman just, like, takes over the gang. And he's like, you guys can't do the things that you want to do, but I will tell you what to do. And as long as you do those things, then you're good. You know? So, I don't know. There's a lot of interesting questions presented in the thing. Which is more than we usually talk about. Usually we're just kind of talking about the entertainment value, the content. But, like, these are things we're dealing with right now, you know?
Yeah.
With some of these situations we find ourselves in.
And, I mean, he, in essence, creates a gang.
Yeah. He creates, like, a literal gang of vigilantes just because...
Well, it's after he defeats the...
Yeah.
Leaves him in the, like, mud.
Yeah.
You know, and just, like, and this just, like, is the mark.
Over. Yeah. And they follow him... Because he has shown himself to be the strong man. He's the strong animal.
He's the alpha.
Right, he's the alpha, so they will follow him. And that's how that works. So, the dog is very focused on some food I was eating. But anyway, I don't know. I enjoyed it to an extent, because it really actually makes me think about things. As opposed to just like, I don't know, was it fine or was...
You know? Oh, it wasn't scaling. So, if you look at the series of steps, what do you think of the Joker in this?
The Joker.
He's very David Bowie-ish.
Yeah.
If I casted someone for this film adaptation, it would have been David Bowie. I don't know why.
That actually would have been a really good casting for that. A David Bowie Joker. That would be interesting. I thought he was pretty good.
It's just the way he's drawn. He's like, I don't know.
Yeah, well, yeah, like, but, I don't know. Some of his manifestations as well. Like, but he kind of has that same sort of thing where he's just like, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And you have to deal with that. Like, he just loves killing people, I guess. Hmm. I thought the Joker was okay. He was not as central a character as I would have expected. Like, Harvey Dent goes away very quickly, too. So, like, each of them are kind of, like, there for an issue and then gone. But, you know. And then, like, obviously the final issue is about Batman versus Superman, basically.
Right. So. The coolest death in comic book history takes place in this.
Okay.
Which would be the death of the Joker.
Okay.
Who, you know, like, Batman doesn't kill, right? Yeah. That's the whole thing.
He chooses not to kill him.
He chooses not to kill.
And then the Joker's like, well, I'm going to kill myself.
So, it's a great fight. Like, you know, there's batarangs and eyes, and there's just, you know, they're trading blows.
Right.
Joker, obviously, is getting a lot of internal damage during this battle. And there's a point where he almost breaks the guy's neck. He almost kills Joker, and he's like, you know, I don't do this. And Joker breaks his own neck.
Yeah.
And it is like, I remember when I read it,
it is like
the most psychotic, perfect thing for this character.
Yeah, for Joker to do. Yeah.
And not only that, you know, it puts guilt, blame on Batman because of the scenario they're in.
Yeah.
And how he was almost dead, and then, like, he just kind of finished it. And it was just like, it was...
It's savage.
It's one of my favorite things ever, which is horrible to say. It's like, oh, what's your favorite part of the comic? When Joker breaks his own neck. All right, so after we had the Joker do his thing, one more obstacle, really, in the way, which is Superman.
Yeah.
And Superman, you know, I mean, Batman killed the Joker, apparently, and...
So they think.
He's...
And they're like, all right.
Not following the rules.
Actually, like, he's started a gang. He's...
Yeah, he's got a gang with people with bats on their face.
And they're like, you know, to be fair to them, Batman's gang is literally like, oh, you didn't stop this person from robbing you as a cashier. So therefore, you shouldn't be a cashier. So therefore, I'm going to cut your fingers off. So it's like, there's valid reasons to be upset with Batman if you think that that he started these people doing this sort of stuff. So, yeah, you know, fairness to them.
So, Superman comes to save the day. He could have probably saved Gotham multiple times.
Yeah.
Over the past 10 years. But, and he's really a tool of the government.
Yeah.
In this series.
Yeah. He's literally just a weapon at this yeah. point.
But, I mean, he's prevented all wars, right? I mean, right. like, that's kind of a big deal, you would think. And we've actually seen this version of Superman before, you know, where he's like, you know, the world's safe. Nobody's doing anything because they know I'll come there and destroy them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Punch through your skull. Yeah.
I'm okay if you take off the American way. It's fine. It's not a big deal if that's how you're going to roll now. So, Batman's in his gear, right?
Yeah.
Which is great. Great gear, by the way, in this. And obviously, it's been adapted in Batman v Superman, the film, the exact same armor. They actually use this scene in the film.
Do they?
Yeah. Oh, okay. They do the lightning strike.
I saw it. But
they do the lightning strike in the film. And they you know, I'm okay with them taking inspiration from this being one of the best graphic novels, you know, I've ever read, so it's fine. But don't ruin it. You know, don't ruin it. Don't act like this is it.
Like, a lot of people didn't like that movie. I actually liked it better than most people. I saw it, I don't know, a couple of years after it came out. And I was like, what was everybody's problem with this? Like, this is fine. It's totally fine.
It's fine.
But I think it was also, like, in between watching Marvel movies. And I was like, oh, there's something I can actually care about here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
As opposed to one of the Marvel movies, I'm like, I just don't care.
With the My Name Was Martha, My Mom's Name Was Martha 2 thing, it's just kind of like... Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that really what we're doing?
Right, yeah.
Two grown men fighting about their...
Superman gets nuked and
yeah.
then struck by lightning, and then he fights Batman. And I guess, like, he's weakened because there's still, like, a nuclear winter sort of thing going on.
Oh, you're talking about the lightning. You're talking about the lightning?
Doesn't he get struck by lightning?
Superman, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he gets all skinny.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, Superman's almost dead at that point. But then he fights Batman. And so, yeah. And then, like, they collectively weaken Batman. And then it's not Superman who dies.
Right. I mean, it was all pretty orchestrated. But you're right. The whole idea... Oh, goodness gracious. You close that door. Can you get over the cord?
I can get there.
This is the most raw episode we've ever done. But no, he's pretty much good to go. I mean, he's pretty much healed at the point.
So yeah. He's like back to 100%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
After being hit with a thermonuclear device.
Right, he can just jump up into space, get a good hit from the sun, and be back to 100%. Yeah. All right.
Maybe we should use him to generate solar electricity.
Maybe. So, anyway, the fight. He's got his armor, which was in a movie that we're not going to talk about. And his inclusion of Green Arrow,
mm-hmm.
another non-super character, is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. The point where Superman catches the arrow is one of my favorite scenes ever. Because you don't have to be stronger than Superman.
Right.
But you have to be smarter.
Right, yeah.
And Batman knows he is, so it's not a big deal. And the way it's planned out and the way that the whole thing is worded, it's just, I don't know. It's one of my favorite. Like when he's kicking him in the jaw after the kryptonite gas explosion from the arrow they knew he'd catch. And Batman says, I want you to remember, Clark, in all the years to come, in your most private moments, I want you to remember my hand at your throat.
Yeah.
I want you to remember the one man who beat you.
Yeah.
And then he goes into cardiac failure.
Right. Yeah.
It's so well written.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just like this ultimate moment, right? And he dies.
Mm-hmm.
Very young to have a heart attack.
Yeah. Yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah.
I hope. I'm older than you. I hope. And then, of course, you have the funeral of Batman, mm-hmm. along with, you know, we got Selina Kyle there, who's Catwoman, or mm-hmm. was. We have Gordon. It is important to note that Clark does not look as old as everyone else because he himself does not age mm-hmm. the way that humans do.
That was my guess
do.
When I saw. Yeah.
They don't really tell you, but, you know, if you know, you know. And they make sure to let us know that Clark is completely aware that he
is not dead.
Is not dead.
Yeah.
He does have a heartbeat. And he seems to be happy about it.
Yeah.
Maybe he needs to read the sequel to this. But, you know, he's working with the mutants, the X-mutants, and creating, which we'll later find out in DK2, which is the years and years later, the sequel.
Where, like, Batman ages even more?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which I own. I have those separates. I have them separate.
Maybe in the next graphic novel month or something.
Yeah, we'll have to wait. I don't want to have too much of a good thing. You can't have too much of a good thing.
Yeah, that's true. It's like eating just pure sugar.
All right, let's rate it. Okay. Let's rate it. DKR.
DKR.
Oh, I didn't get a new pen. I still got this wobbly one.
Oh, that's. I'll have to bring you a better one.
DKR. The Dark Knight Returns.
Returns.
Now, each volume was titled... I don't know if you noticed that. Book one is called The Dark Knight Returns. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. You noticed.
I noticed that. I don't remember progression. What all the titles are, but... Yeah.
I just want to make sure you noticed.
Yeah.
It's important that we all notice things.
So if you buy them issue by issue, you get...
Yeah, you have The Dark Knight Returns, The Dark Knight Triumphant, Hunt for the Dark Knight, and The Dark Knight Falls.
Yeah.
Those are the four.
Yeah.
All right. DKR dialogue.
Dialogue.
Slicing and dicing.
Yeah, a lot of the mutant language was actually.
Oh, it's fun. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really the education system is not the best in Gotham. They would have a very poor, I would say, literacy rate,
mm-hmm.
and I would also say just IQ in general.
Which frequently, like at least education and literacy, but in a complex society, frequently does lend itself towards pidgin languages and
But I think, like, the I'm leader of yous, you know, this is like, okay.
Yeah. But, like, you end up having a large percentage of, like, creation of new ways of saying things because things still need to be said, but nobody was training these kids on how to say them.
So, like fire, like the term fire.
Yeah.
I'll never understand. All right, what would you give the dialogue?
So I would actually go ahead and give dialogue a 10.
That's fire, y'all. Fire. That's fire. I worked at that social media company for 3-6 months, whatever it was, I heard that a lot. I heard a lot of things. I heard a lot of things I didn't understand. But we're just going to leave that for another day. Artwork? I'm glad you gave it a 10 for the dialogue, because it really is like...
Yeah, it's quality.
It's like... there's so many, like, epic, like...
Yeah. Well, and also, like, to what I was saying earlier on in the episode, on this review, to manage so many different viewpoints and so many different voices and have them be effective.
And I mentioned the newscasters, all that's,
and,
like...
the interview of, like, people on the street, uh-huh, like, what do you think about that, man? It's like, well, he's clearly a vigilante, clearly needs to be stopped, this is evil, and they interview the next guy. He's like, well, I mean, yeah, I understand what people are saying, but, like, look around, like, the police aren't doing anything, so we have to do something, you know? So, like, it's just to manage all of that. As an author, I know how difficult that can be. So, yeah, quality. Artwork? I would have to say...
It's a Frank Miller, you know, like, the style is...
Yeah.
You know, it's... It's not what you're...
It's a little sketched. It's like it's more sketched than like fully fleshed out stuff. But what's interesting is that, like, occasionally they will do, like, full page things.
They're,
and
like,
those
super,
are, like, fully done.
Yeah.
But, like, so many other things are sketched because you're, like, only supposed to be getting glimpses of each of these different parts of Gotham at that time.
Yeah.
So I actually kind of feel like it's fairly effective. I would have to give it a 9.
Okay. There's plenty of points where it just is no color.
Yeah, color. It's just back to noir.
But then with the character that is not part of the scene, it'll go to color within the black and white.
Yeah.
A lot of silhouette work. Because, I mean, the majority of it takes place at night.
Yeah. The only thing that keeps it from being a 10 in my book is that, like, it's very gridded. But also, I don't know how you would cover this many different things if you don't stick so much of this into the grid. Hmm. Because, like, how are you going to cover 5 viewpoints unless you have, like, a ton of different cells on the page?
Yeah. No, it's crowded.
Yeah, it's kind of, and that's the thing, that's one of the things that anyone...
But it's not wasted, you know?
No, it's not wasted, like, you actually get...
Which is why the dialogue got a 10.
But, like, anybody who's going to read this should be aware, like, I mean, usually for a graphic novel, my experience is, like, it's about, like, an hour to read a graphic novel. This is, like, 3 or 4 hours, so, like, you get a lot of good content in here, and it's about 200 pages, so, yeah, I'd give it a 9.
The plot, the story. Obviously very original.
Yeah, very original. It starts you at a place where it's like, yeah, things could be better in society, and then it like goes all the way through an apocalypse. So right. I would have to say an 8.
Okay.
I'm wondering if I should give it higher than that.
No, I think that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, we'll go with 8.
Yeah.
I don't want to be like crazy too generous. So
entertainment?
8 as well. So, just really well structured all the way through.
Okay. And cool.
Cool factor? I would give it a 9. Because it's, like, right up there.
Alright, so you are at an 8.8.
I think that might be the highest I've given anything.
I don't know. Wait, Dark Claw.
Was there something that was, like, a 9.2?
Dark Claw. I don't know.
I think I might have given, like, Dark Claw an 11 out of 10 or something.
No. Oh, you really didn't like that one. I gotta make...
There were a few that I really did not like. So.
Dark Claw only got an 8, just to be fair. Superman Earth 1, 8.6.
Okay, so this is the highest.
I think so. I'll have to go through. But I'm pretty sure it's one of the highest. I would actually... I don't know. I would go higher on plot and story.
Okay.
That's really plot where both. I would fight you.
So you'd be talking like a 9.2 or 9.4 or something.
Here, let's do the maths.
Math.
I always pluralize it.
You Brit.
Because. 9, 8.
Do they call
9.
It arithmetic?
What? Yeah, I'm gonna fight you and go up to a 9 because there's a lot.
Oh, plot and story. Okay.
Yeah, for the plot, and that makes it an even 9 out of 10.
Yeah, that's fair.
If you're okay with that.
No, that's totally fair. Because okay. I think I was on the edge of giving it a 9 anyway.
I think you were.
And the only reason was I was like, well, I've already given it a 10 and a 9. Am I being too generous to this thing?
No.
But.
No, I think
because I literally finished reading this like an hour before I showed up here. But like, I haven't had time to process it. I'm wondering if I should read these things like a day or two before I come back over here, so that I have time to process it. I have time to think about it, as opposed to like these are the things I thought while I was reading it, but I haven't had time to think about it since then.
Yeah,
you know. But I don't know. We can talk about how we want to approach that.
But. There's one thing I wanted to note. I know you had something else you wanted to add.
Yeah,
but the movie. For this, the cartoon, the animated film.
Oh, they made it. Two
parts. Yeah.
Okay.
It's good.
When did they make it?
It came out. I know I watched it. Here, let's see.
Like 90s or like
2000s? No. We're talking.
Oh, 80s.
No. Within the past few years.
Oh, really? Okay. So it's very recent.
Where is it? You asked what you were going to ask while I look at the. Oh, there it is. Film.
Well, there.
DC did a 2-part film. Part one was released.
2013
so and 2012. 10 years. It doesn't look like it.
No, well, I mean, like, I don't know how much the technology's changed in 10 years, though. Like, 2012, like, pretty.
To me, it felt newer.
Oh, okay.
It's been a weird decade.
Yeah, there's no doubt about
that. All right, go on.
Okay, so I did have one question that I mentioned early on that I was like, oh, I'm going to ask you this one question because I don't know how this works, and you would know. The Joker kills, like, whatever it is, like 80 people in a studio or something like that.
Oh, like a TV recording thing?
Yeah, like he's like on TV and he kills everybody and he uses like his smiling gas or whatever. And I had heard of that, didn't know much about it. Fairly straightforward in the name. But I'm like, well, but he wasn't wearing a mask. Is he immune? Like, what's going on here? Or did he just like throw it in there and leave? Or
he is 100% immune to the Joker gas.
Okay.
Which is why he can poison...
So you know, he can, like, poison people and he doesn't have to worry about it.
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
Which is perfect for him.
Yeah, that's very convenient. If that's your job, then like...
You know, well, you get dropped into a vat of acid and see what happens.
Okay.
But the idea is it's like formulated from what morphed him. Therefore, it's part of his...
His physiology.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. So...
Unaffected.
Yeah, it'll be a chemical poison.
It's not like the scarecrow. The scarecrow, who uses his fear toxin...
Okay.
He does have to wear... That's what he wears underneath that hood. Oh, is a,
it's a mask. Filter.
It yeah, like a mask.
Okay.
So, you know, that's just the way it is.
Interesting.
Even Bane's is a breathable gas.
Oh, okay. So but that's not why Bane wears the mask, right? Bane... I thought Bane wore the mask to keep him alive also, though. But without, like, when he's not using gas.
Are we talking about the movies?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't remember.
Talk about the movies. We don't do that. We quit doing that. That's what. That's well, that was the problem. That was the problem. I
really think we need to bring up Batman and Robin for this.
Oh yeah, let's bring up every Schumacher film. Yeah, that was the problem with the Hero Heads. I mean, it was a legitimate comic book podcast, right?
Yeah.
We did one hero per episode. It was first episode was Batman. Then we did Iron Man, then we did Superman, then we did Spider-Man, and, you know, it was a good 3 months of that,
mm-hmm.
and then we started bringing up the movies every episode. Like, we focused so much on the movies.
And now we're not talking about comics, we're talking about...
And then films. We just started talking about movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if you know this, but there's a couple movie podcasts out there. Yeah. Okay? There's a couple... And it's we just got lost, you know?
But there's got to be, like, comic book podcasts.
This one?
This can't be the only one.
This is the only one that matters.
Oh. Well,
it's the only one with a dog. It's the only one that's recorded in a garage every now and then. It's
the only one where you get a viewpoint of somebody who does not know comic books
exactly.
at all.
Exactly. This is one of a kind. But, yeah, we're not...
This is like having somebody who's colorblind, you know, rate sunsets.
This I brought up the movie because it was a direct adaptation, animated.
Yeah.
And they did a good job. Yeah. And especially with that, the Joker death. Mm-hmm. It's great. It's great.
It's intense. Yeah,
it's cool. All right, so we did DC, so we got to do Marvel. Okay. We got to do Marvel next time.
Okay.
Did I give you something?
No,
Marvel?
You know what? I've got two things at my house, and I remember only what one of them is.
Is one of them Marvel?
I think it might be. I will text you when I get home.
Because if not, we're going to get you something.
I mean, you don't live so far away that I can't just swing by and pick something up at some point.
That's true. All right. Yeah, so this... I think 9 out of 10 is our highest.
Yeah. Yeah.
And rightfully so. Those of you who have not read The Dark Knight Returns... definitely put it on your list.
Yeah, I mean,
because I looked up ratings. I haven't done that before.
Also,
I mean, on Goodreads, you like Goodreads,
yeah,
right?
I love Goodreads.
You're a Goodreads fan. It's got a 4.26.
Okay, so that's like an 8.5.
That's an 8.5, yeah, and that's with 184,000 ratings.
That's pretty solid.
I would think.
Honestly, you have 100,000 people of anything, and you're still like. Almost on the fifth star. You're doing fine, you know.
4.7 on Amazon, just to give everybody
a
heads up.
Go back to the on the Amazon.
Why? Now, why? I just closed it.
Well, okay, never mind. I know you don't approve of it, but I think I saw that on the Kindle, it's like $4.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Okay. That's a crazy deal if you're somebody who reads on the Kindle. But I know real comic book people don't like that, so I apologize for even bringing it up.
It is $4 on the Kindle, $28 hardcover. Why would you get it on the Kindle?
But there's also used and new for like $12. Like $12, it's a deal.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have Comixology because...
What is that?
Comixology is kind of like... What is it called? Kindle Unlimited?
Yeah.
Okay. Comixology is Kindle Unlimited for comics.
For comics. Okay. So we're talking like Fire.
It's free. Yeah. Yeah. It's just... Yeah. Almost all of them are free. Yeah. And it's a good idea, but I can't turn the page as far as I'm aware.
What?
Like, I physically can't turn a page.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't work.
I thought you were talking about, like, I can't get to the next page as opposed to I can't physically turn a
if
page.
If you want
to
read free comics, free graphic novels, just go to your local library. There's plenty.
The libraries have comics?
Oh, yeah. I mean, single issue, they have novels.
No kidding?
Yes.
Huh.
Mike,
it's been a long time since I've been to a library, which is like sad for somebody who loves books as much as I do. But
you know what's funny? I would say 2021, I went to the library more than I ever went, ever. Just because the kids did not have traditional school.
Yeah.
And we used to go every weekend. We still do during the summer.
Okay.
And we got to actually start bringing it back because it was, I have a lot of good memories of taking my kids to the library. We don't go to like any of the events, but we do go and get books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good thing to get your kids into.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, that's our message to get out of here.
Marvel next time around.
Marvel. I hope you have a Marvel.
Yeah.
Because if we're running out of Marvel, let's do IDW. I know you have an IDW.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Next time, IDW comic.
And then figure something out from there.
We'll figure it out. I guess I got to go buy some Marvel stuff.